if we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yes, indeed it is, and a good morning to you. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and we are underway on a Tuesday edition of The Authority. It's the 11th morning of the 5th month of the year of our Lord, 2021. Just one guest for you today, but he's so big and so good and so strong and so smart and so willing to share it with us all. It's like having five guests rolled up into one. Peter Kersenow will be joining us in the second hour of the broadcast at 10:10. Very much looking forward to talking to Pete about so many different issues, including inflation, including the For the People Act, including what's going on in Israel, which we are going to start our program with here in just a couple of moments. So Peter Kersenow at 10:10, hour one, wide open. Wide open. So if you are ready, 216-901-0945, we can take your phone call really immediately, although I do have a little monologue planned. 888-281-1110, either one of those numbers will get you here. And again, do it in hour number one. It is your best opportunity to get on the air until around 10:50 after we're done with Peter Kersenow. So get in and get on board. Now, I got a wonderful picture today, yesterday, beg your pardon. And it filled me with, I don't know, joy sounds a little lame. Filled me with pride. There you go. Filled me with pride is what it did. Someone sent me a picture of himself and his wife looking out their window, their front picture window, or if you will, standing there and facing the flag that flies proudly from the pole in their front yard with their hands over their heart, saying the Pledge of Allegiance along with me and everyone else on this show. And they just wanted to share it with me. I should have pulled it up just to give attribution to whomever it was. I loved it. It made me feel very, very good that this means a lot to a lot of people. And maybe I'll find it and give you some credit a little bit later on. But it just made me feel very good. They said this means a lot to us. It means a lot to us, the message said, along with the picture, to say the Pledge of Allegiance every day at the start of this broadcast. And I got to tell you, like, I did it on a whim. I've been doing this show since January of 2015, so it's a little over 5 years old now. I guess six now that it's 2021. Beg your pardon. And I just started doing this a few months ago in response to one of those stories out of, out of Congress, in which Republicans requested Democrat leadership because they're in control. They have the majority. So they have the chairmanship of all of the different committees. And can we please start our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance? And they said, no, we're not going to be doing that. And it just outraged a lot of the Republican members, representatives, and it outraged me. And I said, you know what? We're going to start our show each and every day with the Pledge of Allegiance. It was just on a whim. I didn't even know if I'd follow through with it, to be 100% honest. But I have, and people care. They tell me when I go out and give speeches. They tell me when they meet me by chance at a grocery store or wherever, and they can recognize me easily because I'm never wearing a mask. I have a hard time recognizing other people because they are wearing masks. I had somebody come up to me. I know I'm chasing a squirrel here, but bear with me. I had somebody come up to me when I was with my wife, and we were shopping at in the garden center at Lowe's the other day, and somebody said, "Hey, Bob," and I looked and I just said, "Who is that under there?" Because I couldn't tell just by the eyes. He pulled his mask down and said, "Keith." I said, "Hey, Keith, how are you?" And we chatted for a few minutes. It sucks to have to do that, but he knew me because I didn't have three quarters of my face hidden by a mask up to my eyes. That's how socialization used to happen. That's how personal interaction used to happen. You see people, you recognize people, you greet people, you shake hands, maybe a bro hug. If it's a female, maybe a full hug. And you talk, and it's just great. And that's what's missing. And I know I'm chasing a squirrel. I'll get to the back to the pledge here, but it just struck me. Anyway, when people meet me in incidents like or in situations like that, you know, they have come up to me and they have said, "Bob, I can't tell you how much we appreciate this. We do our pledge. We know that national pride is a real issue right now. The Democrat Party is doing everything it can to try to convince us and our children that this nation is inherently evil, that it's inherently bad, that it was born of a sin. It was born of the sin of slavery and has continued to perpetuate white supremacy over people of color, particularly African people, including African Americans. And this is something that continues to be just a cast a pall over our great nation. That's what they want us to believe. They want us to hate this country. They want us to hate its founders. They want to see everything negative as they can, because then it justifies the tearing it down and the rebuilding of a Marxist theory society. And so when you have the country being attacked like this on a regular basis, that national pride thing is an issue. If this were 4 years ago, 5 years, 10 years ago, you know, I probably wouldn't be playing the Pledge of Allegiance every day, because it just wouldn't be needed. It's, yeah, we, of course we have national pride. I think we need it now more than ever. That's why I started doing this. And I just love the fact that people send me messages, send me pictures, texts, see me out in person, in public, and say, "Bob, thank you for the pledge." And so it makes me feel very good. So with that, I'd like to ask you now to stand. If you are by that picture window, my friends, please go ahead and stand up. Put your hand over your heart. If you're driving, just do the hand part. Try not to stand up. If you are a leftist, I don't care if you're driving or not, go ahead and take your knee, because we know that's what you want to do anyway.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't plan to spend that much time on national pride, but I just got that picture yesterday, and I was reminded of it, and it kind of struck me. Now, it does, however, in a strange way, offer me the opportunity to segue into my lead story about national pride in another country. I want to talk about Israel for a moment. I know a lot of people roll their eyes when I talk about things that don't have to do directly with them. And most of the time we'll open the show with things that affect us directly. Our educational system, the continuing lockdown of many businesses or limitations of many businesses that are costing jobs, the economy, inflation, racism, all of the police in America, all of the things that affect us really close to home is usually what we do. And if people hear about, "I don't want to talk about Israel, I don't live in Israel." Well, there's a lot of people do who are living a life that, quite frankly, you cannot understand, and neither can I. I was watching a video this morning of the rocket attacks yesterday. And if you're not aware, Hamas terrorists fired over 400 rockets into southern Israel yesterday from the Gaza Strip, and began another conflict over the age-old conflict of Holy Land at a holy time, by the way. And Israel, accordingly, as they should be permitted to do and are, defended themselves and struck more than 130 targets in response throughout the Strip. According to reports, Two Israeli women were among those killed in Ashkelon on Tuesday as barrages of rockets struck the southern city, and the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, continued to target Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorist sites throughout the Gaza Strip. One woman was in her 60s, the other in her 80s, killed when the rockets slammed into their homes. Minutes later, the IDF reported that it had killed two top Islamic Jihad commanders responsible for rocket fire in Gaza. They named them. One Palestinian terrorist identified as Sama Abed al-Mamluk, doing the best I can with the Arab name, Arab names, so bear with me. The IDF and Shin Bet, which is the Israeli security agency, said he was attacked in a hideout together with a number of other additional Islamic Jihad operatives. In another strike, Hassan Abu al-Atta, deputy commander of Islamic Jihad's Gaza Brigade, was also killed when the IDF struck an apartment in an eight-story building in Gaza's Rimal neighborhood. He was the brother of Baha Abu al-Atta, who was killed in an Israeli targeted killing in 2019. Now, these names don't mean anything to you. So why am I talking about it? I'm talking about it, first of all, because the people of Israel deserve our support and our prayers, quite frankly, as our allies. They are our allies. And the fact that the nation of Israel, which was born in the years directly after the Holocaust and the driving, first of all, the driving of Jews into the ground, in the obvious way, but then the driving of them from Europe, many of them did not and could not return back to their homes that they were taken from when the Nazis invaded Poland and the rest of Western Europe. So the nation of Israel was not created. It always existed, but it was recognized by the rest of the world, and including the United States. So there's a special place in our heart for Israel, and particularly Jewish Israelis. So that's why you should care. But in a different sense, aside from the obvious, these are human beings who live a life that you cannot understand. Now, I said a moment ago that my patriotic, you know, national pride in the Pledge of Allegiance story segued into this. Here's how. I'm going to play a clip for you right now that is almost useless to you because there's no narrator. It's natural sound of what happens in Israel when the bomb sirens go off. I will describe to the best of my ability what I am seeing. But I want you to just hear it for a purpose. Just listen, and I want you to try to, maybe this is the best way to do it rather than me describing it. I want you to picture your neighborhood, your city, your community, wherever it is that you may live. When you hear the bomb siren going off, and when you're conditioned to respond to the bomb siren because it's something you've lived with for your entire life, because you don't just live a peaceful existence day to day. Where I live in Lorain County, or where you live in Cuyahoga County, or in Lake County, or in Portage County, or anywhere you may be in Summit County, you don't probably wake up every day wondering if there will be rocket attacks on your town. In Israel, they do. And those rocket attacks come, and people are alerted by the sirens. And I just want you to listen, and I want you to think, what would you do if you started to hear these sirens? My friends, those those sirens are sounded whenever a rocket attack has begun by the killers and the terrorists outside the city walls. This is a normal way of life for them. This is their nation. This is the nation that they would like to have pride in, and their nation is constantly under attack from people who wish to kill them. If you could see what I saw in this video, you would see children scrambling. You would see mothers running to collect and corral the children to take them to safe areas, to bomb shelters, to underground parking garages, or other places where they might be safe from the bombing attack which has begun, or the rocket attack which has begun. This is their daily. This is their existence in their country. And meanwhile, we sit here in our country, and representatives of our country, members of Congress in our country, rather than empathizing with those victims of rocket assaults, over 400 rockets fired into those cities in Jerusalem, rather than empathizing and condemning the attacks, we have members of Congress like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, otherwise known as Jihad Omar and Sharia Tlaib, getting on Twitter and blaming the victims for fighting back. Ilhan Omar tweeted, "Israeli airstrikes killing civilians in Gaza is an act of terrorism. Palestinians deserve protection. Unlike Israel, missile defense programs such as Iron Dome don't exist to protect Palestinian civilians. It's unconscionable to not condemn these attacks on the week of Eid." Palestinians don't have protection out there because Palestine does not exist as a recognized nation. Palestinians don't have protection because it's Palestinians firing the rockets and only being struck by return fire. Palestinians deserve protection? Tell the Palestinians, tell Hamas to stop attacking innocent people in Israel. Ted Cruz had the best response to Jihad Omar and her condemnation of Israelis fighting back from the rocket attacks. Ted Cruz tweeted in response, "Why is a member of Congress acting as the press secretary for Hamas? And does Joe Biden agree? This is his party, after all. Do we stand with Israel, or do we stand with terrorists in Gaza who make it their life's mission to kill Israelis?" I'd love to talk about this with you. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. We'll be right back. Obviously, a real short one here. It's already 9:29, but I do want to hear from you. We are guest-free until Kersenau at 10. So dial now at 216-901-0945. We'll get you on the air before 10 o'clock, 888-281-1110. Can you try to empathize? Can you try to put yourself in the shoes? I mean, every time I watch that video that I just played the audio of for you, you know, with the sirens, it just strikes me. They live like this on a regular basis. This is, they hear that siren attack and the mothers scramble to collect their children and get them to safety. Who can live like that? Who should have to live like that? But children and the mothers are just running in circles, all trying to get to one another to go find shelter as the rocket sirens go off, because terrorists, headed up by an officially recognized terrorist group internationally, Hamas, continue to attack civilians, Israeli civilians. Then the Israeli Defense Forces fight back and they are called the terrorists themselves by American members of Congress, including Jihad Omar and Sharia Tlaib. I would like to hear from you on this. I really would. I've got more, but this is disturbing to me. I cannot imagine my mother, or excuse me, my mother, because you go back to that generation. I was going to say my wife, who's the mother of my children, being concerned, because you never know when that rocket siren is going to go off because we're being bombed here in our city, in our county, in our community. It's just, it's hard to fathom. If you can join us, 216-901-0945 right after the news.
Progressive Democrats, please be aware, you have now entered the place where political correctness goes to die. This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
It is. I want to give you just a couple more quotes and then go to your phone calls. I want you to, you already heard from Jihad Omar, who thinks that Israelis should just die quietly and without making much of a fuss, rather than, you know, fighting back and firing back into the Gaza Strip. Now here's Sharia Tlaib, the first Palestinian member of Congress. American tax money, she says, taxpayer money, is being used to commit human rights violations. Congress must condition the aid we send to Israel and end it altogether if those conditions are not followed. Statements aren't working at Secretary Blinken. Enough is enough. She went on to say, quote, 330 of my colleagues, 75%, pledged not to condition the billions we sent to Israel's army. Days later, the apartheid state resumed forced population replacement. Now we see grenades, bullets, and tear gas shot into Al-Aqsa. Sharia, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care what part of the world they are in. You fire 400 rockets at a population of Israelis, whether they be near the Gaza Strip or anywhere else in the world, they're going to fire back, and they're going to have our support to do so. They are allowed to exist as a sovereign nation. Sharia Tlaib tweeted also, I was 7 years old when I first prayed at the Al-Aqsa with my city. It's a sacred site for Muslims. This is equivalent to attacking the Holy Church of the Sepulchre for Christians or the Temple Mount for Jews. And Israel attacks it during Ramadan. Where's the outrage at POTUS? Well, I'll agree with the last sentence. Where's the outrage, Joe Biden? But not on behalf of Sharia Tlaib. But on behalf of the Israelis, why are you not speaking out against, A, the Hamas attacks on Israel? And by the way, Sharia, if you don't want rockets fired back at this holy area that you're talking about, that is equivalent to the Temple Mount or the Holy Sepulchre, if you don't want attacks, then maybe you should probably influence your friends in Hamas, the internationally recognized terror group, maybe influence them into not firing 400 rockets into southern Israel cities and killing people. What do you think? But Joe Biden, where is your condemnation, not just for the attacks from Hamas, but where's your condemnation of your own party's members of Congress who are expressing extraordinary anti-Semitism by blaming the victims, the Jews in Israel, for trying to survive rocket attacks and perhaps limit them by firing back? From Hamas. And then, of course, you know the other squids are going to go along with their fellow squids. You have Jihad Omar. You have Sharia Tlaib. Why not get Ayanna Pressley involved in this, too? I stand in solidarity with the Palestinian residents of Sheikh Jarrah in East Jerusalem who are being forcibly removed from their homes in the middle of a pandemic during Ramadan. This is unacceptable. Not a word about the Palestinian bombing through 400 rockets of southern Israel. Not a word. Not a word. This is unbelievable. It's. I'd like to say it's unprecedented, but anti-Semitism on this level is not unprecedented, particularly when it comes to Palestinians and their allies. And then, of course, the head squid is Alexandria Damasio-Cortez. We stand in solidarity with the Palestinian residents of... Beg your pardon. No. It was almost ending. I think they must have joined their wording together. They must have planned this together. Alexandria Damasio-Cortez almost word for word the same thing as Ayanna Pressley until the end when she said it is inhumane and the U.S. must show leadership in safeguarding the human rights of Palestinians. What about the human rights of the Israelis? Where are you? And where is Joe Biden condemning the anti-Semitism coming from his party's squid members in Congress that literally are calling for the defunding, if you will, of the Israeli military, which the United States does. We send a healthy chunk of change every year to our allies in Israel, as we do to allies around the world, particularly those that are threatened with being wiped off the face of the map by hostile Palestinian and other Arab authorities in the Middle East. Yes, we are going to defend them. And yes, we are going to give them dollars that are unconditioned because we can't imagine their conditions. That's why I started the show or the segment that I did before with it. You can't imagine the conditions. You can't imagine living in a place where the rockets may come in from over the wall, from the Gaza Strip, into cities and neighborhoods and communities and temples, and you have no idea when and where. Suddenly here come the sirens, and it's time to collect the kids again and try to find shelter because the Palestinians, those peaceful people who deserve their own dome, are attacking again. So I can't call it unprecedented. The Jews have faced this for centuries. But particularly in the modern world, certainly since the formation and the recognition of Israel as a sovereign state. All right, Steve is in Collinwood. Steve, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you got to thank Tlaib in one way.
What is that?
Because she mentioned that it would be like attacking the Temple Mount. She did mention that.
She did.
And that, so she admits that there was once a temple up there and that they built a mosque on top of it. So actually, she's supporting there is a Jewish right and a Jewish claim to go up there and pray.
That's
because
right.
The temple, the main Palestinian line has been that no temple ever existed. The Jews have no connection, and the Bible was rewritten. But I want to make a comment about the people running.
That was very astute, by the way. Before you make your comment, I want to compliment you. That was a very astute observation. I didn't catch that myself, but you're exactly right. She did inadvertently acknowledge Temple Mount as of course, having at the temple. Go ahead. What else did you want?
So when you see the Israelis running to the bomb shelters, in a way, I take solace in that because two generations ago, my fellow Jews were running and they were gunned down and murdered in the streets. Now they have a safe place to go. You can't build a building in Israel unless you build, according to your specifications, a bomb shelter that will hold the number of people in the building.
Right.
Now, and that's why the casualties are low, even in wars when there's a lot of destruction going on. But in the air over in Gaza, they don't build bomb shelters. They build a few of them, and that's only for the terrorist mafia elite and their families.
That's right.
And they you know, fire rockets from residential areas. They bring kids to scenes of violence because they want casualties. Israel has, we have the strength to destroy Gaza, but we don't want to. That doesn't, you know.
Well, they fire rockets from school buildings in Gaza, and then when the Israelis return fire to the location of that, if school children get killed, number one, the children are considered martyrs, you know, because they died at the hands of the enemy, the infidels. And then secondly, Israel on the world stage looks like they're, big thanks to the propaganda of Jihad Omar and Sharia Tlaib and others, Israel looks like the bad guys because they killed innocent school children. Well, this is exactly the game plan that Hamas uses.
So my advice to the United States and all the politicians is just keep your nose out of it. It's not let it be settled by the people there that are deciding what to do and how to respond.
This is the first disagreement we've had on our call here, my friend, because I don't think politicians should keep their nose out of it. I think politicians who back the aggressors, the Palestinians, the terrorists, should keep their nose out of it. I think people who understand the need to defend the people of Israel should absolutely say so. And I think Joe Biden should not keep his nose out of it. I think he should condemn Palestinian bombing of Israel cities and residents and civilians the way that they are. I want the outrage on that front.
You can't ask Hamas not to stop the bombs and the rockets, because if they stop the bombs and the rockets, they have no reason to exist. They're a murder organization, a mafia organization.
I know they are.
So they're not going to...
No, I'm not saying Joe Biden's words would stop them. But I'm saying that the president of the United States, no matter who, and thank you for the phone call, my friend, the president of the United States is the leader of the free world. If he cannot lead the way in condemning this, getting other world leaders to also join in the condemnation in support of the Israelis, then what do the Israelis have to do? We cannot force them to stand on their own without world aid, without our aid, without munitions, without money. They're not going to be able to survive on their own unless they have the funds needed to build this extraordinary defense force that they have, the IDF. And you know what else? The Iron Dome, if you will. This is something that the entire world should indeed contribute to, just out of recognition of what Israel is and how it was formed and why it was finally recognized in the holy land that it is for the nation of Israel. And if we can't even get our, and I'm not saying that, you know, Joe Biden's words or the words of other world leaders will tell Hamas to stop and they'll stop. But if we don't continue to support Israel very publicly, very vocally, and operationally, those who wish to have it wiped off the map will succeed. We need them to know that we support their defenses of their people. We need them to know that we don't victim shame here in the United States. At least we shouldn't in the United States, and say the Israelis should just take their deaths, take the rocket attacks in goodwill and in good spirits, and say, please don't do that anymore. They have a right to defend themselves, as do we. John is in Chardon next. Hi, John, go ahead.
Hey, morning, Bob.
Morning.
I had a Jewish friend from Josh and Paper Company, a paper distributor here in town that I sold, that has been a friend for life, and he ended up moving to Israel. And my wife and I were contemplating it, and she said, oh, I don't want to go there. It's too dangerous, you know. And Marv, my friend, he talked me into it, and we wouldn't have gone except for him. And when we got over there, he was exactly right. They have their program together, and that place is safe. And I thought they had a dome surrounded that repelled these rockets, but I'm not sure.
That's the Iron Dome they talk about. I mean, it's not impenetrable, and it's not everywhere. It's over certain areas, and yeah, they do. And think about what that's like. It's kind of going back to what I was talking about before, John, and thank you for the phone call. You know, here in the United States, here in Ohio, here in your community, your town, your city, can you imagine raising your family under a dome of sorts, under a place in an atmosphere of fear, to the point where when you hear the rocket, or not the rockets, when you hear the sirens, it's not a tornado you need to take cover from, a natural disaster, which is going to be, you know, maybe once in a lifetime for your community. But when you hear the rockets, it's a regular occurrence in your lifetime. Multiple times, go take cover in the bomb shelters, get in the underground facilities because the terrorists are attacking again. Can you imagine living life like that? Living life under a dome, whether it be literal or proverbial, with a defense force. How about this? Can you imagine living your life in a nation where military service is compulsory? Everybody, male and female, must work and serve 2 years in the military to defend the nation, because the nation doesn't have enough, if it's an all-volunteer military, the way we have right now, do not have enough to repel and fight back against the attacks on its existence by its terrorist neighbors. Can you imagine that? My daughter just finished her second year of college. My son is going into college next month. And can you imagine, once they turned 18, instead of being able to go to college, I have to send them off to boot camp because they're about to serve their 2 years minimum of compulsory service. Now, obviously, those who volunteer to go off to boot camp right now have my support and my respect. And I salute them and thank them for their patriotism and going to fight for this country. But making it mandatory for everybody, not a draft, mind you, everybody, male and female, because there's no way we can guarantee the survival of our nation without it. You can't imagine a life like that. The Israelis live it every day. They live it. And that is why we just simply cannot allow this kind of thing to happen. And we cannot allow American members of Congress to praise and defend the terrorists in Gaza, the Hamas terrorists, and condemn the victims inside of Israel for not accepting their deaths with good grace. And by the way, it should go without saying that it's not just Jews that are killed by Palestinian bombs, Hamas bombs and rockets. There are Israeli Muslims living and Palestinians living inside of Israel. Palestinians, Muslims live in Israel. It is not a 100% Jewish population. Those rockets are indiscriminate. They'll kill. Those bombs will kill people of all faiths. But they're willing to do it, the terrorists are, because once again, if their fellow Palestinians die in service of a battle against, and I'm paraphrasing this, of course, if they die in service of jihad, if they die trying to take out the infidels, if you will, if they die in such a way, they are just going to be martyred and go to heaven in the same way that those on the airplanes on 9/11 did. Yeah, you know, they're willing to die in service of killing infidels and advancing the cause of jihad because that is what their faith calls for. 9:52, let me get a quick timeout and get a few more phone calls right after this. Okay, 9:56. Let's get a couple more in, or we'll go to Rick in Elyria, who wants to continue the conversation on Israel and their fighting back against more Hamas terror attacks. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Bob. I'm driving, so I'll make this quick. I was watching the evening news last night, and the runner on the bottom, I won't tell you what channel unless you want to know, but the way it was worded, and I had to rewind it because I have a DVR, and I rewound it, and it sounded like Israel was the one that was doing the attacking. And it was like, we know better, but if just the way it was worded, it left, if somebody didn't realize what was going on, I think that's the impression. Oh, Israel is the one doing the attacking.
Well, that is exactly correct. That's propaganda. That is what the Palestinians have been doing for decades since the recognition of Israel, the creation of Israel as a nation state in 1948. This is propaganda. They don't recognize Israel's right to exist, and they don't recognize Israel's right to defend themselves. So when they do, they paint Israel out as not being defensive, but being on the offensive. They're the killers. They're the terrorists. And you know, and thanks for the call, my friend. It's proven time and time again, every time these kinds of things go on. They have infrared radar that they can use to see where rockets are fired and when they're fired and from whom first. And it's proven time and time again that these rocket attacks come in from Gaza into Israel first, and Israel defends itself. And as I said to the previous caller, and this has been proven by eyewitnesses who identify it on the ground, including journalists, that, you know, the Palestinians, the Hamas terrorists in particular, they'll fire rockets from school buildings, from residential neighborhoods, because the Israelis also have the infrared tech to be able to tell where those came from, and they return fire to that area, expecting it to be a military installation, and that's what they're firing back at. Then they fire back at and inadvertently kill civilians, and that's the international story, because the international hatred of Israel and the Jews outside of the United States and a few small allies continues. They've been persecuted for 5,000 years, for crying out loud. Why should this be any different, right? Let's go to Derek in Richfield. Hi, Derek. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. So when the Iranian general Soleimani, when he was, you know, taken out and killed, you know, the strike from under Donald Trump, what was the reaction from the left and the media then? They were praising him. They're praising Soleimani and saying that, and basically criticizing Trump for doing that, as if they were supporting the Iranian terrorists instead of, you know, U.S. interests. And I am also reminded, I had seen a presentation by the John Birch Society where they illustrated how the radical left and radical Islam, you know, they have a common enemy, the West, and, of course, Israel. That's just what I kind of see going on here.
Well, no, you're right. I think very, very fair observations, and thank you for the phone call. Very astute observations. Look, this is, you know, I'm not suggesting that there's an easy answer here. I appreciate the call. Thank you, Derek. I'm not suggesting there's an easy answer here in any way, shape, or form. I just know that we must vocalize and be very, very public about, and we want our elected officials to be very public about our support for Israel's right to defend itself. It's one thing to say we support Israel. It's another thing to show it very loudly and internationally and get other believers in sovereignty and freedom, and you know, supporters of Israel to do so, to do the same. We're never going to change the mind of those who are hell bent, and they will spend their entire lives and future generations in their families' lives into killing Jews and into reclaiming what they believe to be their holy land. This will go on forever. It is sad to say, but while it's going on during our lifetimes, we can do everything we can to rebut the propaganda and support the victims in these attacks. It's 10 o'clock. We'll get news now. We'll get Kirsten out next. AM 1420.